When I walked into the church building this last Tuesday, seems like a long time ago now, the first thing which crossed my mind was, what in the world is going on? And the second thing which crossed my mind was the simple prayer, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And looking back now, the last few days, and thinking about that, I've concluded that that's really not a bad place to start. What in the world is going on? And Lord, help me. I need help. And I first found, of course, the source of water coming from the riser room in that far corner over there, the big pipe. The big pipe. And I opened the door, and there she blows, you know. It's like Old Faithful. There she was. That large 3 to 4 inch pipe was fractured and blowing, like the waters are really gushing from the deep. During the flood of Noah, you know, it was a gushing. Now, not gushing like Miss Becca did when she was first kissed by her sweetheart, Brother James. Not as much gushing, I will have to admit, to Mr. Noah that he faced so many years ago. Now, not our Noah, but Noah the Elder, maybe, we should say, that from so many years ago. I called to young Chase, who was up here, and had he not been here, and I met him to do some work up here, it had probably been another 24 hours before we'd have found the water. And there's just so much water coming out of that riser room, it would have been impossible for it to escape out the doors fast enough. We could have had 2 to 3 feet of water in here by the time we found it. But I called Brother Chase, who was outside doing some work, and I said, come over here and help us, sort of like the Macedonian call, you know. Come over here and help me. And then I called, of course, the fire department, and boy, they were here in short order. They really were. They just were fantastic. Their numbers just swelled. The chief came. The fire marshal was here. New fire marshal, by the way, not the one we had in my nightmares. But. And their numbers swelled. They called in other stations, and next thing you know, several stations had responded. They even called out the rookies first day on the job. First day on the job. They were so new on the job, even their pants were still brand new, you know. Didn't have smudges, all creased, looking real fine, you know. Let them do the job for a week and see how that works out. And we started pushing water immediately out of the church. I think Miss Dory had something she put up on Facebook, but that was about 30 minutes after we were already pushing water as fast as we could out the open doors, all open doors of the church, all of them. It wasn't just a pocket, a region. It was the whole slab, the whole place. Now, little Clayton, his grandma showed me a video of him later with his little finger in the air saying, no water in the church. No water in the church. Push it out. And that's what we were doing, pushing it out as fast as we possibly could. Now, soon after, Brother Colt's prayerful email hit the resistance of Satan, I will say. It just failed to go out. I fired off an SOS to the members, and many stopped their work and headed here our way to help, and they continue to come. Workers jumping in, young and old, and everything in between. Servants of the city and servants of the Lord side by side, you know, doing the work and getting the job done. And we would have had much, much, much more damage had the fire department not been able to respond so fast, and had we not had the response from the fire department as well as our church family jumping out here. Cole, I mean, he was here soon thereafter. They responded quick as well. And he can testify, if it weren't for that quick response, we'd have had much more damage. Amen? You know, I mean, it was a disaster, but it would have been a lot worse a disaster. Honestly, by the response of the fire department, their company, and our people, I have no doubt that we have already saved thousands and thousands of dollars in damage that would have certainly occurred by the quick and powerful response to the need. And it all came to bear, and of course, get the work done. And I'm glad that we have a church that is about getting the job done, not standing around gabbing when something needs to be done. Let's grab a broom, grab what we can, dust mop, whatever. Get the water out of the building. No water in the church. No water in the church, as Luke Clayton would say. Of course, we'd say, you know, according to David, is there not a cause? And of course, there was a cause. And people came a-running. And frankly, and personally, on a personal level, I was greatly moved. The fire chief is here with me the whole time. I wrote about him in his cowboy boots. And I told him, I said, you know, you don't have to be here walking around in his boots. I said, you don't have to be here. You don't even have rubber boots on. And he said, well, preacher, neither do you. Good people. You know what I mean? Good people. And it's greatly moved even some of our elder men. And I was concerned they might fall, you know, and hurt themselves. And just jumping in and doing what they could do. Well, let's go back just a little bit. I kind of step back from that, from this. No matter if we are looking at our building being flooded and come upon it and ask what in the world is going on, we as well today, taking a step back and look at our families, our world, and ask what in the world is going on? What in the world is going on? We have now Supreme Court justices in the highest court of our land that can't tell you what a woman is. What in the world is going on? A boy can say he's a girl just at a moment's whim. And shebang! He's supposedly a girl, can compete against true girls, shower with girls in the school locker rooms, the showers, all the while saying something which anyone with a half a brain knows is not true. A boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. And never shall the two be one another. He just gets to pretend and get away with it like a spoiled brat, otherwise known as Antifa. What you need to know is there have been many occasions in world history where the world seemed to be upside down. And it comes and goes, sometimes more often than we would care. Of course, that'd probably be all of those times. Judges 21:25 says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That brings anarchy. That brings so mass confusion. Isaiah 50, verse 2, or verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It is bad, and it's certainly out of order to have people think what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right. It's completely upside down. We know it. This verse goes even further to say, those who are guilty of their delusion are worse intentional fabrication. In other words, they know it's wrong and do it anyway. There's a difference between the two. Shall have a curse placed upon themselves that they bring upon themselves, and that's the reason for the word woe. Woe to them that call evil good and good, evil. Woe to them. It's not going to go well with them. They may get the newscasters to put a camera in their face today and ask them, how do you feel about this? And poor little thing, you little snowflake, you know. But their days are numbered. The Bible says, woe to them. You know, if a hammer self-identified as a paddle in the hands of a foolish parent, if a hammer identified itself as a paddle, a proper disciplinary item in the hands of a parenting fool, and they hit their child with the hammer, they're likely to kill their own baby. If you think humans came from a single cell and not the creative work of Almighty God, created in the image of God, you'll have humans starting to act like animals instead of human beings acting like they were created in the image of Almighty God. Today, we are in such a time as this, where much that is right is considered wrong. Mom and daddy, children, is considered wrong. You got to have two mommies, or what? Three mommies, or four mommies. What's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right, so they say. Think about it a little bit. I found reflecting upon what great-grandparents would think to be very helpful. Think about it, if your great-granny, great-great-granny, came back from heaven, she's probably there, but if she came back from heaven and walks into our town, walks into our individual homes, do you think she'd be shocked? I think she'd be shocked. I think she'd pretty much say the same thing that I said when I walked in those doors. What in the world is going on here? I think that would be her sentiment. What do you mean a boy can identify as a girl? What lunacy is this? Great granny, with better sense than most everybody today, she'd say, I think this is lunacy. This is lunacy. He could just as well, she could say, identify as a bird, a giraffe, or a spotted owl and have special considerations given him. And that's what they want, special considerations. Then in reflection of the shocking confusion, I think she would end up by saying, God, help us. What in the world is going on? From granny, great granny, and then God help us. Who of us with a reasonable thought in our head would expect anything less from great granny? What in the world is going on? Lord, help us, when she finds out actually what's going on. Now, as we near the time of the coming of the Lord, this is going to happen. It's going to happen more often. And it's going to happen with more pronounced effects in the world. And the Bible tells us that this is going to take place. In 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. On a much larger scale, we walk into the front door and we look at the whole world. And if you really want to see the whole world in the lens of the Scripture, you really need to keep your eye on Israel. Keep your eye on Israel. Ever Israel. The prophetic events of the Holy Scripture are most clear when you see it through the lens of Israel. Not the lens of the United States, but the lens of Israel. Because God promised to preserve them, and God promised to restore them, and God cannot lie. Now, last week I asked, where are the Assyrians, that empire that took Israel, the northern tribes, into bondage and slavery? Where are they today? Nowhere. Where are the Babylonians? Where are the Medes and Persians? Where are the Greeks? Where are the Roman Empire? Where are they today? They're gone. They're no more. Where is Israel? A little bitty Israel. They're still here. They're still here. They're still here. Just like God promised that they would be. They're still here. That's interesting, isn't it? Just one generation ago, no one would think the sentiments of a younger generation, especially on our college, a high education college campuses, would be more antagonistic against Israel and pro, if you would, terrorist Hamas. One generation ago, who would think on our campuses that there would be more people at the protest, you know, in favor of Hamas than Israel? Who would think? I don't think anyone. I don't think anyone. Many of those who protest Israel would be allowed to live in Israel and would even be allowed to vote in Israel. Yet many of those who are protesting against Israel would not be allowed to even live in the nations that they're supporting. Most of them be thrown in jail if they live there, if not more. So it seems in many places we find ourselves walking in the front door and in our mind at least saying, what in the world is going on? And reflecting upon that, we say, God, help us, right? I think it's pretty universal. That is exactly where we get the right kind of help in any and all circumstance. Turning your Bibles to Psalm 121. This song, of course, the psalm was written and given to God's people to sing. And God's people need to sing. It's a good thing to sing. Singing really kind of just soothes the soul. It helps us to kind of gain our proper balance and perspective in life. We can sing, I told Brother Colt, have a little fun with it deep and wide, you know. That's good. We get our help from the Lord. The song, of course, is written, the psalm given to God's people, and sings in this answer that I want us to see today in Psalm 121. The psalm speaks of our great God, and we have a great God. And we have a great God who cares about us. He's not a naturalist. He doesn't pat us on the bottom as we walk out on the football field and say, "You're on your own, boys." No, he's right there with us. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. It shows here in the psalm of his providential care over his people that should cause all of God's people to stop, pause, and praise him for his wonderful works and his kindness to us and his love for his children. No one ever loved their children like God. No one. As great as our love can be towards our own, the Lord's love for us is far greater still. Verse 1 says, the Song of Degrees, "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy," listen, "thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." You know, facing the enemies that we have of the Lord is not new. And sometimes we find ourselves, it seems like our backs are to the wall. What in the world is going on? One of the great illustrations of that very sentiment or that very problem is found in the book of Exodus with the children of Israel. So if you would, turn over there, hold your place there, and I'll get back to Psalm 121. Turn over to Exodus chapter 14. Let me set that stage. The time is soon after the course of the plagues of Egypt, and God through Moses said, "Pharaoh, let my people go." And he kept preaching that same message until finally Pharaoh decided to let God's people go. You can back and read in that verse 17 of chapter 13, and God led them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Then we enter chapter 14. We find that God is informing his servant leader Moses that they were to go to set up camp by the sea. Now, God had good reason for them doing that, but a military strategist will say, that's a bad idea. But if it's God's will, it's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. Now, after the people were released, the Pharaoh started having second thoughts. Well, what about all that free labor? Well, the love of money is the root of all evil. We're going to pick up in verse 5 of chapter 14. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people, and they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took, now listen, 600 chosen chariots. They were vicious. All the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea. Certainly they were shocked and alarmed. Let's read in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and what in the world is going on? Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were, what, sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, "Lord, help us." See the theme? And they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians?" God forbid. "But it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." So there was panic in their hearts. What in the world is going on? They just knew, we're all going to die. Brother Cole said, we're going to die. But we see another message, that they are to stand still. Look at verse 13. Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." Now you say, well, preacher, what all is going to happen? I don't know. And neither do you, by the way. I don't know. We'll know a lot more next Sunday, next Lord's Day, than we know this Lord's Day. But I know this, I'm here, and you're here, and our God is here. And we're not going anywhere. All right? Somebody says, well, we could go off campus. No, we can't go off campus if we can possibly stay right here. Here is our place. Here we take our stand. Why should we want to remove that landmark? I don't think so. I don't think so. But they had panic in their heart. Here they were at the end of their road. They had no place to turn. No place to turn, that is, but God. And that makes all the difference in the world. God many times brings us to a place to remind us of our total dependency upon Him. One of our men asked me yesterday, I think it was, do you think sometimes that maybe it's gotten a little bit easy kind of around here, you know, a little bit easier to serve the Lord, and we've kind of got a little lax? I said, oh yeah, yeah, I believe so. I think there's a certain element of truth to that. Listen, if you want to see the salvation of the Lord, you got to get your eyes off the circumstances, and you have to get your eyes on the Lord. And when we get our eyes on the Lord, everything, no matter what, is going to be all right. You know, we had some electrical things in water, okay? We had electrical things in water. And I don't know if it was Cole's brother or not. I can't remember who it was. But said something about, you know, going down here in the back and there's electrical sound system cabling and all that kind of stuff in the water. And said, well, you know, there's water down there, electricity down there. And I said, well, I have good insurance. And more importantly, I'm saved. And if something happens to me, I'm going to heaven. Amen. So I went. Amen. Get this thing put back in order. Somebody's got to step in through the water, right? Like the priest of old stepping in Jordan. Come on over. The water is thus. Get the job done. So God unfolded His plan. In this plan, we see not only the people of God protected, but the enemies were destroyed of God. In verse 15 of chapter 14 of Exodus, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward? In other words, quit whining. Move forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. Wonderful story. And I behold, I will harden the hearts of Pharaoh, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Now they're going to know it for a short time, because then they're going to be destroyed. But better to know it for a short time and have a chance to repent. Amen. An Egyptian shall know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. And Moses, here's our man, stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea. The Lord, Moses didn't, the Lord did. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them to the right and to the left. And the Egyptians pursued. That was a big mistake. And went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all the Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariots' wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, and that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Not one. Now I want you to see, this is a large group of God's people, and we see God's work on their behalf. What in the world is going on? Lord, help us. And He did. Now I want you to turn through the pages of history in your mind of a small boy who was to become king. As a little boy, he watched over his daddy's sheep. Then a barren lion came out, and they're going to take of his father's sheep. And he said, they're not my sheep. Who cares? They belong to my daddy. Oh, no. They belong to my daddy. They belong to us. It's an us mentality, right? It's not a me, but it's a we mentality. came against his father's sheep and he slew them both. He took them both out. Later he was sent on an errand to go take some supplies to his big brothers in battle, arrayed for battle. And not much was being done until little David showed up and he said, "Is there not a cause?" And he said, "What about this loudmouth over here?" You know the story well. He took up in the battle of the Lord with the armor of the Lord and he slew the giant. David grew up as a military man with many victories and many enemies. So many that he felt at times that his back was against the wall. And he called out again and again for God. David, little David, who became king of Israel, is just like the millions of others who have come since then and even before then and us today, that we can relate to this Psalm 121. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills." David was a man. He was human just like the rest of us. He put on his breeches, if he had breeches, one leg at a time, just like we do. He put on his shoes, his sandals, one foot at a time. So back to our text in Psalm 121. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help." My help. Here's an emphatic statement. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Not just any Lord, Creator God. "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy helper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil." All evil, not some. All evil. "He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forever." Let me give you a few points and we'll be done for this morning. Number one, this psalm says not to look to the hills of men. It's not talking about the mountains round about Jerusalem. Look to the men who live on those mountains that they'll come to my aid. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the God of Zion, the God of Mount Moriah, where the ark of God is, the presence of God represented in the ark. What he's saying here is, my hope, my help comes from the hill of God. And the focus is the God of that hill, not men that happen to live all around on the mountains. The help comes from the Lord. Now, men can be helpers and facilitators of the hand of the Lord, yes. But ultimately, the help comes from the Lord. And it has to be acknowledged as, first and foremost, our help comes from God. We had a lot of help out here Tuesday. But ultimately, our help came because who we are and who we called out to. Number two, the Lord shall come to our aid. And this Lord is the Lord of hosts. He's the captain of the host. He's the creator God. The Bible says who made the heaven and the earth. And when the Bible talks about making the heaven and the earth, that means everything that is made by our God. Everything. The heavens were stretched out. And the earth, by the way, was fixed. Don't worry about the earth. God's going to take care of the earth until he gets a new one. Don't worry about the earth. Don't worry about the vastness of the heaven. He stretched it all out. That's the God of our help. We do not worship a limited God, but a limitless God. That's the big difference. Is there anything impossible for God? Number three, God himself shall not allow our foot to slip day or night. Now, I love my children, and I would do my very best to protect my kids always and my grandkids always, always. But I can't be everywhere at once. And even my abilities are limited. You turn your back and your kid gets hurt, right? Just like that, that fast. It can happen, but not with God. God says, "I am here, I am everywhere present, and I will not allow your foot to slip." You know, we have to sleep. I think a number of our members are more concerned about me than they were about the building. I know my girls were. Daddy, 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 daddy. I said, I'm all right. We've had worse things happen, you know. I've had worse happen on my eyeball, you know, my grandpappy would say, you know. We've had worse. We faced worse. It's not my first rodeo. You say, well, you're not as young as you used to be. Don't be reminding me about that, you know. I'll remind you, you know. But I know my God will take care of me. No matter what. No matter what. You say, you could have been electrocuted. You're right. No matter what. He's still going to take care of me. See? And if we have that type of confidence, no matter what, everything's going to be okay. No matter what. Day or night. By the way, the Lord never sleeps. People have said, are you resting? You know, I guess I made a mistake. Miss Jolene, bless her heart, I noticed when the time that you sent out that email, I need to stop doing that because you are not supposed to notice when I send out those emails. You just read the email. Don't look at the time that I'm sending stuff out. That's none of your business. No, I'm kidding. Okay, but let me tell you what happened. We need decisions made. And I told Cole, I said, I need rest. I've got to have rest. I've got to have time to pray. I've got to seek God's face about that. I need rest. I need rest. I can't make this decision. I have to get rest. I have to get where I need to be to make these important decisions on behalf of the church. And then all of a sudden, about 1:30 in the morning, the Lord says, rise. Rise. Get up. And I've learned to trust that. Listen, let me tell you, this church wouldn't be here if I had not learned to trust that. The hand of God, the still small voice, rise. I have something to tell you. And just like that, you wake up. Now listen, it's sort of like, you know, I've told you the story. You know, you go to college and you're getting 5 hours of sleep a night and everything's kind of in a haze, you know, just kind of, You know, all of a sudden you get to sleep in a couple of mornings, you know, and you wake up, man, the sky is bluer than it's been in the last 6 months, and the trees are so green, and the birds are just singing up a storm, and you think, man, has this been like this all along? Yes, you just didn't. That's what happens. I can't explain it. I can just tell you it's so. In your stupor, in your high blood pressure, in all of that, God says, rise. And He gives you a thought as clear as a new day. And then another new thought. And another fresh thought. And I'm like, Lord, don't go too fast, you know. I'm not as fast as a typist as Brother Daniel. I need to write this all down. Right? Write it down. I found. Write it down. It's important. Write it down. So I got up and I started writing things down. And the Lord just, okay, this is what needs to be done. You take care of this and take care of this. And here's the series of things that need to happen first. And A, B, C, line upon line. And so I formulate an email and I said, okay, that communicates enough. And I sent it out. And then our discerning folks say, our preacher is never sleeping. Well, I wasn't asleep, but I was up to do God's work. And God had given me what He wanted me to know to help our church. It wasn't, okay, I'm going to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 1:30 in the morning, and I'm just going to send out an email at 4:30 to make our people think that I'm worthy of my paycheck. I don't think like that, number one. Some people maybe think like that. I don't know. Kind of weird. Go to sleep, you know. That's what I'd be thinking. Go to bed. You're tired, go to bed. But it's just the work of God and how it works in our lives. And I have learned, 100%, I have learned to trust that still small voice. And I can't tell you how many times, I can't count them now, looking back over the years, how many times that type of event has preserved this church. So I have a confidence. Yes, you say, are you tired? Yes, I'm tired. Are you kind of feeling a little under the weather? Yes, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. But I have every confidence that my God will take care of us. He's always taken care of us, and He's not going to leave us, and He's not going to forsake us, and He will not allow my foot to be moved. So I told him a story today. I said, all right, let's dress for success, and I want everybody to know I'm here and I'll be here tomorrow. I'll be here. What about you? I'll be here. So no, number three, the Lord would not allow our foot to be moved, to slip day or night. We have to sleep, God doesn't. And by the way, I went back to sleep after I wrote that email. I went back to sleep. All right? Number three. Well, number three, number four. That's number three. Number four. God watches over us as we continue to live, not hide. I'm all for playing hide and seek when you're a little one. That's a lot of fun, right? Hide and seek. Man, that's a lot of fun. But I find a lot of Christians are hiding. They don't want to live. They're afraid of living for God. God doesn't call us to just save us to sit. He saves us to get up and get. Do something for the Lord. Notice, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Listen, the Lord shall preserve. Now listen now. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. Now I found out, before you can ever come back in, you've got to first go out. Right? Before you ever come back to your house, you've got to leave the house. And some Christians act like, oh, the boogerman out there is going to get us. The boogerman's going to... You say, well, that's the boogeyman. No, it's not the boogeyman. It's the boogerman. There's nothing scary about a boogeyman. But there is a lot scary about the boogerman. You just ask the Duke, and you get it all straightened out from him. He'd be all right. But we get so scared about living. That's the worst thing we could do. Live for the Lord. You say, well, if I live, I may make mistakes. Yes, you very well may. But you won't make the biggest of mistakes, and that's hiding in your basement. Live. The Lord promises to preserve us while we're living, going out and thy coming in, thy going out and coming in, thy going out and thy coming in. Never sit and soak. Always soar with the Lord as the eagles fly. Now this tells me, this tells us all that God expects us to live and go out. Do what we can all the while. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But knowing of the providential care of God over those who have faith to get out and go. It's not either or, but it's both. So I guess you could say it this way. We stand on the promises of God. We don't sit on the promises of God. We stand. Psalm 20 verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. Well, how did that serve Pharaoh? How did it serve Pharaoh? There no more. But we will remember the name, the power, the name, the power of the Lord our God. Jeremiah verse 23 of chapter 3. Jeremiah, that great prophet, says, truly in vain, not just a fact, but truly, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. See? Some trust in chariots, some trust in the mountains. Some trust that we are so far away as America, we've got a big pond in between us, right? Nobody can touch us. Listen, many evil empires right now could touch us anytime. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Looking into all these things. Then he says, truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. My hope, I'm glad we have a great military. I am. I'm glad we have a great military. But I don't trust our military. I don't trust our military to protect us. I trust our God to protect us. I really do. So when we walk in the doors of life and we find ourselves shocked, and it happens, right? It happens. I was shocked. Somebody says, boy, you were excited. Yeah, I was shocked. I didn't expect it. Was it kind of down? Yeah, I mean, I told one of my girls, I said, we didn't work so hard to build this place up to see it in such a problem. I don't like it. I don't like it, and neither would you. So we walk into the doors of life and we find ourselves shocked and we say, what in the world's going on? Just like I did, walked in the door. What in the world's going on? And when we kind of make a short-term assessment of what in the world's going on, the next thing you know, we should be calling out, Lord, help us. Because truly our help comes from the Lord. and really no place else. Let's stand for prayer.